Hi, this is the meeting of the Pacifica National Board Elections Committee for Monday, July 21st. It's 8:40 Eastern Time. My name is Bob Lederer. I'm the Chair Pro Tem, and our Secretary Pro Tem is Yosh Yamanaka. Yosh, could you please call the roll?
Yes. Anthony Fest.
Present.
Bill Crozier.
I'm here.
Bob Lederer.
Here.
Bonnie Simmons.
Here.
Carolyn Burden.
Here.
Dithya Wangaza. Jan Goodman.
Here.
Thank you, Jan. Kathy Davis. Steve Brown.
Here.
Wesley Bethune.
Here.
Wesley, okay. Yosh Yamanaka is here. George Ryder. Leslie Radford. Rob Robinson, Tico Chassin. We do have quorum with 5, 6, 7, 8, 9.
Okay, thanks very much for that. All right, so I sent out a proposed agenda, so if we can all take a look at that, and I'll, for those who may not be online, I'll read it out loud. Okay, so after approving this agenda, then we would go to... number two, election of chair and secretary, but that was only if we had gotten confirmation that WPFW had elected its LSD members of this committee. And since we don't have anyone from that station on this call tonight, then I think we automatically have to defer that, as we have done every time in the past. So I'm going to leave that out of the proposal. The next would now be, I guess, number two, would be the announcement of the next meeting date and the setting of the September meeting. 5 minutes. Next would be the review and approval of the March 31st and June 2nd minutes. That I suggested 10 minutes. Next, report on the status of the KPFK election recount, 10 minutes. Next, resolution of the PNB Finance Committee regarding cutting election costs. I propose 20 minutes on that. Next, we're now at number six. That would be report from the working groups that were formed at the prior meeting and discussion of priorities for our work in the coming months. That suggested 40 minutes. And then these leftover items, the motion by Rob Robinson concerning a task force on elections, and then the motion concerning campaign finance reform, and then new business, if any, within the German time guaranteed for 10:30. So that's my proposed agenda. Are there any discussion or amendments?
Carolyn here.
Okay, go ahead.
Carolyn?
Yeah, go ahead, Carolyn.
The motion from the Finance Committee on elections costs, that has not yet gone to the PNB, and that kind of... I have several questions about that. Could we put that at the end of the line and hope that maybe it'll be addressed
Rob
by
Robinson.
The PNB? Addressed by the PNB, at which point we can then take it up. Because I think that our own committee is working on some of those issues, and I'm not happy about having to give up so much time to something that the board hasn't even approved yet.
Well, actually, this was a, as we'll get into in the discussion, this is a unanimous vote by the National Finance Committee to request that the Election Committee begin emergency meetings to formulate a new plan for elections that is more cost-effective. So I specifically received an email from the chair of the committee saying, you know, that this, notifying us that this was the motion and asking could we please move as quickly as possible to try to develop these cost savings proposals. So sounds to me like it's something that we shouldn't wait around for some formal technical approval by the board. This is work that undoubtedly is going to have to be done, but it needs to happen soon because it figures into the budget for this fiscal year, which is right now being developed. For this coming next fiscal year, which now is the time that all the stations are putting those together. So I would request that we keep it in the position on the agenda.
Well, I'd like to I'd like to put that to a vote, because we are working on that. We do have work groups set up. One of them is to talk about transitioning to electronic voting and so on. So I consider this a bit, if not out of line, a little premature. So I would like to move that to the end of the agenda.
Okay, we can consider that as a motion. So why don't we take debate on that before we go to any other suggestions for amendments? So who would
Bonnie.
Like to speak to? Go ahead, Bonnie.
I agree with Bob. I think that we need to keep this in the forefront. And whether it came from finance and
no,
has
there's
not
no reason
gone through
I'll send it out.
Pardon? Hello?
Go ahead, Bonnie.
I believe we should keep it at least where it is and really discuss this as a group, although I know that a lot of the people working on the working committees are working toward suggestions that will hopefully go toward cutting the cost of the elections when we are in a situation where every single unit of the network is trying to come up with ways to cut costs. I think that we have to seriously work as hard as we can to come up with them for the elections too, and Bob is correct in that I do believe that this plays into the formation of the next budgets that are being created right now. So I would opt for it to remain further up on the agenda.
Okay. Anyone else on this Allen's proposal? Well,
Anthony here.
Go ahead.
This is, I don't know if this is really a for or against, but we can discuss it when we choose, with the understanding that it's not yet formally adopted. We don't have to.
Her motion is to move it later on the agenda. That's what we're debating right now.
Right. So I guess my comment is perhaps neither here nor there.
Okay. Does anyone else want to express an opinion before we vote on her amendment?
Okay. Could I just ask a question of either Carolyn or the chair? What is the possible downside to discussing an issue that the PNB hasn't taken up yet? I mean, is there a danger that they're going to reject what we said, or they're going to duplicate our effort? I'm not exactly clear on that. Carolyn?
May I?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I think it's, well, for one thing, I don't think Mike understands what we have been doing. We've already started to address this issue. So I find it a bit of an overlap, if not interference. And I think that we should proceed as we were doing. I don't think that the emergency is exactly right. I don't think there's that kind of an emergency. There's a lot more information we need before we treat it as an emergency.
Can I further refine my question?
Yes, go ahead.
Is there a danger? I mean, it would seem to me that two groups working on such an important issue independently might come up with more ideas, and that later when all the ideas are thrown on the table, it might be to our advantage than have one group suppress its own investigation into the topic so that only one group could work on it. I'm not clear on what the issue here is.
Oh, which groups are you talking about?
Well, you said the PNB is going to take it up, or I that's what I'm not clear on.
Well, they have to approve. The motion from the Finance Committee is advisory, and when the PMB approves it, you know, then we can move ahead with it. But there might be some debate that would change it there, too.
Let me just ask a question. The PNB does not have to approve our taking up the issue of cutting costs of elections. We could do that on our own, no matter what.
And then we will, that's right, and then we'll recommend whatever we recommend.
That's mm-hmm. correct. So what difference does it make what the PNB is doing? The PNB, for years in its history, sometimes has not acted when it should. Why wait? They might act, which would be great, and in which case we can feed into them whatever ideas we have. But they might not act, in which case we may be the only game on the table.
We're already the only game. We're taking it up. I think this motion is a little bit out of line.
We've heard a lot of back and forth, and I'd like, unless there's anything really pressing, I'd like to bring it to a vote so we can get on with the meeting. Is there anyone else who urgently needs to speak?
This is Bill.
Yeah, go ahead.
So briefly, I think we should go ahead and talk about it because we probably just mostly need to let the Finance Committee know what we're doing. They've asked for an emergency meeting, and so if we don't discuss it, the PNB is liable to order us to have another meeting at a time that's not real convenient for us before our next monthly meeting. So I think we ought to go ahead and talk about it tonight.
Okay, so there's no one else who needs to speak. Then, Josh, would you like to call the roll? And the motion, as I understand it, is to move the agenda item, which is listed on your email version as number 6, resolution of PNB Finance Committee rate cutting election costs, down to Carolyn, to which position? Number
at the end of the, I guess, new business, somewhere in new business.
Okay, so move it to number 10. All right, so we want to call the roll, Josh, please.
Yes, Anthony Theft?
No.
Bill Crozier?
No.
Bob, are you entitled to vote on this?
Yes, in committees, chairs vote, but not in full board.
Okay. Bob Lederer?
No.
Bonnie Simmons?
No.
Carolyn Burden?
Yes.
Jan Goodman? I believe Jan may have left us. Ifia, have you logged in? Kathy Davis? Steve Brown?
No.
Wesley Bethune?
No.
And Yo Shamanaka votes no. So the nays carry with one yay and seven nay.
Okay, thank you. All right, any other discussion or amendments to this proposed agenda?
I move to adopt the agenda as proposed.
Okay. Anyone else need to say anything? All right. Then is there any objection to adopting this agenda? Okay. Hearing none, it's adopted. All right. So we now proceed. Well, actually, Robinson, are you with us?
Spirit, probably.
I thought I heard his voice earlier.
He did. He logged in. But.
All right. Well, maybe we'll ask him the question about PFW when he comes back again. And just a reminder to all the committee members, whenever you do come in late to a call, if you can find a moment to get a word in edgewise to just announce your presence, that would be helpful. Okay. So the next meeting date we had previously voted would be Monday, August 11th at 8:30 p.m. So that's just a reminder. And then we might want to set the September meeting now, so we lock that in. So does someone have access to the KPFDX calendar? I don't right now. But
yeah,
maybe.
Just a minute.
Okay, thank you.
Yes, I have it. The only dates taken at the moment are for September are the 11th, the 17th, and the 18th.
Are
anything
any of those
else free?
Mondays?
No, we want a Monday. Okay.
Well,
be
so far,
1-8, 1-8, 15, 22, or 29.
Okay, and the 1 is Labor Day, so we're not going to want to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So, all right. Does anyone have a preference? To, I'm sorry, what was it again? The 8th and the
8th, 15th, 22nd, or 29th?
Seems like, given the volume of work, it might be better to go earlier than later. So, what? How would people feel about September 8th, Monday, September 8th?
That sounds good.
For that matter,
Anthony?
I was going to say, if anyone's agreeable to meeting on a different day, the first week of the month, that's okay with me, but I have no objection to Monday the 8th.
Yeah, I think it might be good to stick with a date that's proven pretty reliable for everyone, rather than, I mean, with a day of the week, rather than switching in midstream. All right, so...
Well, this is Bill.
Yes.
I would rather not meet at the 11th because I have a committee, KPFT committee meeting that usually meets the first or second Monday, and it'll probably meet the 11th since 4th is Labor Day. I'm not sure yet. The date hasn't been established, but...
The 4th is... I thought Carolyn just said that the 1st
no,
is Labor Day.
August. July. I mean, the 1st or the 8th. I'd rather not meet the 1st or the 8th, but...
I see.
Yeah.
Okay, the 8th is bad. It might be bad. All right. Well, shall we go for the 15th?
I personally would rather keep it earlier than later because we should be having a national board meeting sometime in September, and it might end up, you know, the later this committee meets, the more likely it's going to be either intrude on the PNB or it will happen after the PNB.
Right.
I prefer earlier than later.
All right, Bill, let me ask you a question. Do you think that if this committee sets aside the 8th, that then that your local committee could find a way to work around that?
Yeah, probably. Wesley and I are both on that committee, so and they haven't established a date yet. So, yeah, let's go ahead. If that's good for everybody else, I understand the need for avoiding the scheduling something around the PNB meeting.
Okay, so is there any other discussion about the 8th? Okay, hearing none, is there any objection to having our next, the September meeting be on Monday the 8th? Okay, so then that's when it'll be, as usual, 8:30 Eastern. All right, moving on to review and approval of the March 31st minutes. Is there anyone who has not had time to read them? It was circulated, I believe, 2 or 3 months ago. Okay. Is there any? Does anyone have anything to say about the minutes, or just approve them? Okay. Is there any objection to approval? All right. Hearing none. March 31st is approved. Next, we have June 2nd. Anyone who has not read them or needs more time? Okay. Any concerns? Any objections to adopting them? Okay, then that's adopted as well, June 2nd. All right, that was quick. Now we have a report on the status of the KPFK election recount for 10 minutes. So is that Yosh, do you want to start that?
Sure. I'm happy to report that the KPFK election recount is now under our belt. And quite amazingly, I think... the very rigorous computerized vote undertaken by Michael Lauer turned up the exact same results, at least for the 9 open positions, as Casey's, as well as Jack Van Aken's electronic vote. But anyway, we've seated everyone due to the unfortunate loss of Don White, who out here on the West Coast as well as in South America was a very important figure in the progressive movement. Don White passed away on June the 19th, leaving a vacancy on the board, and his vacancy was taken by the first runner-up. And we still have, we have a whole slate of stand-ins in case there are other vacancies, but... And I guess, basically, Dan Siegel considers himself the ad hoc national election supervisor. And so I just FedExed to him the laptop as well as a notebook which contains all of the documentation of all of the decisions made by Michael Lauer and the 3 or 4... election observers, and so I guess Dan Siegel will probably be making an announcement certifying that election either this week or next week, but I don't expect anyone to object, and as far as I'm concerned, it's a done deal. And Jan, I don't believe, is here with us, and I don't know that anyone else from KPFK is in on this meeting, so I don't know. I'm happy to take questions, but I don't think there's anyone at, from KPFK that can give additional input. Any questions?
So the outcome was exactly the same?
That's correct. It was. I'll just give you a little bit of background, and then we can move on. Basically, there was a write-in candidate who should have been vetted, but was not vetted, and because he was not a member, he should not. He was not a qualified candidate, but they let him. Casey did not investigate, let him stay on the ballot, or let him counted all the ballots. And the way Casey had it, any write-in candidate, unless there were obvious clues or indications that the write-in was not to be a number one choice, all write-ins automatically took first place. And so this non-qualified write-in voter was elected on the first round. And then I think the second LSB member was elected on the 12th round, and so on and so forth. And all the positions were filled together with the alternates. And then the NES made the decision, which everyone objected to, which was to say, well, I've seated the non-qualified write-in candidate, and now I am removing him from the seated delegation, and so everyone else, well, everyone moves up, and the first substitute, I believe, which was Israel Foyer, moved. It was just a, instead of recounting all the ballots, he just said, well, okay, the balloting has been done. I'm going to remove the non-qualified voter, and everyone else moves up. And everyone at KPFK objected. It resulted in a lawsuit. The judge got irritated at the people that brought the lawsuit, and he proposed some two draconian alternatives. And at that point, the lawsuit was withdrawn, and there was an informal agreement that that Casey should perform a recount. Then Casey turned around and screwed everyone. Well, he gave the finger to everyone and said, I'm the NES. No one can tell me what to do, and I don't care what the parties have agreed. I am not going to do a recount.
Oh.
And in fact, he continued to refuse to do the recount until we finally said, well, you don't get paid. And at that point, certain things happened. I guess he returned the computer to us, even though he apparently failed to return the
okay,
10,000.
Hold on. Excuse me, Yosh. Be careful because we're in public session.
Okay.
So let's not get
I'm sorry. Yes.
You're
right. Thank you for that. But anyway, it was a real mess. And we're really happy to have all of this behind us.
So a recount was done.
Yes. Yes, it was.
I have a couple questions.
Sure.
Was the person who did this on a volunteer basis?
No, he was paid a certain number of dollars by national office.
Okay. And I wasn't clear on the final result. You said that the nine board members were identical, but what about the runners-up? Were there any changes?
The first two runners-up, I think that was Chris Condon. Well, actually, it's Israel Foyer and Chris Condon were the same. And I believe the third runner-up is also the same. There's some juggling in the fourth and fifth positions. But anyway, it's the top 10 or 11 positions were identical, both during under Casey's system and Jack Van Aken's electronic count, I guess 6 months ago, as well as the recount, which just happened, which just concluded 2 weeks ago.
Okay, and my last question is, would you or any of the people you talked to who were part of this have any lessons to offer the committee for next year's elections that we can learn from what happened here?
Yes, a number, but I really don't want to take up too much time.
Briefly.
I would like to see us move away from paper ballots. And the ballots that Casey had prepared were confused a lot of people. And plus, well, some people suggested that instead of having voting for all 30 positions, and a lot of people were very perturbed of having to rank 30 people that they don't even know and they may have heard once or twice on the radio. If we had limited it to, say, 12 or 15 instead of 30, that would have simplified matters. Also, not to have duplicate first position voters. You know, voters should be forced to make a choice between two equally qualified candidates and place one in first position or first selection, first preference, and the other one in second preferences instead of having two or three or four or five first preferences.
Okay, well, let me suggest that while your thoughts are fresh in your mind in the next few days, perhaps you could write a quick memo to the committee just memorializing what you just told us, and for those who aren't here tonight.
Yeah.
Just, you know, we take them into account as we formulate proposals for the next, for future election.
Yeah.
I like you, man. Who are you?
Hello?
Okay.
What's
so,
that?
Yes. Can anyone who has background talk and please mute? Okay. Any other questions for Yosh about the recount?
I do have one.
Okay, Carolyn. And then Bill.
That's all right. Bill was first, I think.
Well, yeah, thanks, Yosh. And when you write something up, if you could be more specific on what to do about write-ins, whether we have electronic voting or paper voting or whatever, since that was the main vote of contention, we need to avoid lawsuits or the reason for lawsuits and people being upset because they feel arbitrary decisions are being made after the ballots come in.
Yes.
If we can foresee any potential kind of problems that might come up, we might head off more lawsuits.
Sure. I will address that as well.
Carolyn?
Thank you.
Yeah, this raised a couple of questions. I don't know whether Yosh even wants to pull out a 10-foot pole here or not, but I'm concerned about the movable definition of a national election supervisor. On the bylaws, the supervisor reports to the ED, not to the board, and, of course, at a certain point there, Dan Siegel was the interim ED.
Yes.
But the question arose also when Caleb Kleppner was asked to finish the count at WBAI. Now, it was an unusual situation, but I think we need to consider a bylaws revision and some protocol for handling, God forbid, if this ever happens again. Because what we had here was a dreadful mess. We had someone appointed as partial national supervisor in New York, and then I see improperly, I think, responding to the IED, and the IED assuming the ED's role in issuing certification and finishing up the job. So if there was an announcement by the ED that, you know, she had delegated this task, that would have been better, I think. So it's very messy. I'd like to see some protocol to make sure this doesn't happen again.
Well, this is Bob. I just want to take exception to the notion that anything that Dan Siegel
excuse me,
done
does someone
this,
have some static on? I'm getting an awful lot of interference on the line.
Yeah.
Can anyone else hear that?
If you can mute if you know who you are that has the static. I just want to differ with the idea that there was anything improper about the council having taken on the final certification of the election. We discussed on several occasions in this committee that the executive director, Nicole Sawaya, has repeatedly stated that she is delegating all matters relating to the 2007 election to Dan Siegel, since she came in the middle and didn't want to plunge into that. So before we go around accusing people of improper behavior, I think we should find out what the real situation is. But it sounded to me that delegation extended to the situation where we don't have a national election supervisor. We need the elections under the bylaws to be recertify, and so rather than incur expense as a foundation to hire someone for one short-term purpose, it's just it sounds like that she authorized him to play that role in this one short-term occasion. So, any other comments?
Bob, I'd like to say, again, ask whoever has a cell phone or wherever there's background noise to mute it, because it's hard to understand what other people are saying. Town one to mute, right?
Yeah, town one.
Sounds like someone is driving or moving in
better
air.
Now. Thank
okay.
you, whoever it was.
Bill, did you want to speak?
No.
Okay. Sorry, is there anyone else?
One question.
Yes, answer.
Yosh, what's the connection you see between these problems and the use of paper ballots?
Electronic balloting would be so much more straightforward. The computer could tell the voter immediately whether he or she is improperly voting. In other words, for instance, if one of the rules is you can only select one first preference and not two, three, or four first preferences, the computer will immediately tell you, sorry, you can't vote that way. You already have a first preference. And, you know, whatever the rules are that you pre-designate, you can write that into the computer code so that you've got instantaneous feedback. It would simplify. It'd be a vast improvement over paper ballots. Paper ballots, we have to decipher things. Mm. I mean, some of it, you know, usually we had concurrence, but there were at least two ballots where Israel Foyer, just on a matter of principle, objected because you couldn't swear to it that was the voter's intent, but. You know, most rationally, most reasonably, we all concurred. Everyone except Israel concurred. Yes, that was probably what the voter intended. And so we, you know, basically three or four of us agreed, and Israel just disagreed on principle. And so it's those kinds of things which can be avoided electronically.
Okay, we're actually at time on this item. So, let's move on to the resolution of the PNB Finance Committee. All right. Let me just read the text of that resolution. This is from the National Finance Committee report dated June 27th. And there's a whole list of immediate action items, contingency action plan, and then the one that affects us is under the cost reduction items. And number one reads, election. The National Finance Committee unanimously voted to request that the election committee begin emergency meetings to formulate a new plan for elections that is more cost-effective. Elections are one of the most expensive non-air costs to the foundation and must be lowered. The NFC should create a cost ceiling for elections in the next budget that takes this new plan into consideration. And then later, the chair, Mike Martin, sent a memo to all unit managers throughout the network attaching budgetary policies adopted by the committee and then saying the NFC has requested the PNB Elections Committee to finalize a plan for reducing costs for elections. The assumption for elections must be the procedure in place is what will be followed, but if a faster, cheaper plan is adopted, that line item could change. So that's that. And then just briefly, his cover note to me, asking me to alert the committee, was that, never mind. He's just repeating what the resolution is. Go into emergency session to begin addressing the problem of cost. So, and he says, I know that you all are working hard on this. Okay. So the question, actually, let me get a volunteer for a timekeeper because we allocated 20 minutes to this.
Okay, I'll do it.
Thank you, Bonnie. Okay, so it's, I guess we've used up about three minutes, so 17 more. The question is, how can we move forward, or should we, on the urgent call from this other committee of the board to start working on a cost reduction plan? And I have something to say, but I'll wait. Let me hear what other people want to say. Who would like
Bill?
To speak? Bill, go ahead.
I think we should first request a list of all the expenses for the last two or three elections, whatever they can easily get, so we know what the costs are that they feel are excessive. My guess is one of the most excessive costs has been the lawsuit, which has been indirectly related to that, but I'm not sure if there's other things they're concerned about, and I think we need to do whatever we can to reduce the feeling of unfairness and the poor list and ballot, people not getting ballots and all those things. I think that will inherently reduce our cost a lot by not giving people reasons for lawsuits. But I'd like to request a list from the Finance Committee of exactly what all the costs have been.
Okay.
Bob, I could be on stack.
Go ahead, Bonnie, you're next.
I do think that would be great if we could get as much of a full accounting of cost of the elections as possible. We met once thus far in one of the working groups on considering maybe having an outside person run the elections. And we did, I admit, probably my fault, kind of meander around a little bit. And I apologize for that. But one thing that we all seemed to think might make some sense, and I think would be quite a cost cut, would be the concept of only, even if we didn't do electronic voting, if we felt that we had to stay with paper ballots, that we at least not send the entire pamphlet with everybody's statements a first-class mail with the ballot. That we put the statements up online and in every way that we can think of that people could go take advantage of them. But I don't see anything in the bylaws that says that the statements have to go paper, you know, mail. It's a little bit debatable whether the bylaws say that the ballots have to go paper mail, because the bylaws kind of contradict themselves in three paragraphs right next to each other about that. But that was one of the things that we had discussed, and that I think it would be interesting to hear what people think about that. And I suspect it would be a pretty substantial savings. I, in my work, I was kind of alarmed last week because I do this mailing every year for an event that I'm doing, and it's just 3,000 things that we send, and they weigh... They're sort of oddly shaped, so we pay a little bit of a premium on them, but they just weigh a couple of ounces, and where last year it cost us 72 cents to send them, this year it was $1.36 a piece. So I'm really concerned at what sending those fairly chunky ballot statement pamphlets around is going to add up to this year. And I think that we could cut thousands of dollars off of this just in doing something simple like that.
Steve Brown?
Go ahead, Steve.
Yeah, that's very true. It would be ideal if we could junk the pamphlets and put everything online. But, you know, as it is, I have a feeling that people's eyes glaze over even turning the pages, 30 or 40 pages in the booklet. I don't think people are going to scroll through 30 or 40 candidate statements. And I think that we may save money, but the elections will suffer. My added comment is that We're concentrating on cost reduction, and really the obverse of that is much more fruitful, and that would be revenue generation. And we showed in the very first election that without hardly any effort, half of all the people who voted were persuaded to send in an average of $25 to defer the cost of the election. And that was just with a simple appeal and a survey. And that was last minute. I'm sure that we come up with something better. The fact is our elections fail on two fronts. Number one, they cost a lot of money, and number two, which is worse, they don't generate enough response. Only 10% of our people respond, and at least 50% of the American electorate respond. That's embarrassing. I thought that Pacifica people should be much more dedicated to station than the American public seems to be in voting. So I would like to concentrate on revenue generation. It's there's a whole upside that no one seems to be touching. We can cut, but it won't make a hell of a lot of difference. There's not that much to cut, I think, and there is a lot to generate.
Okay.
Thanks, Carolyn, on the staff?
Yeah, go ahead.
I think at some point I had sent out the outline of what had been suggested last year by one of the companies that we had looked at, the outside company. And they said it took them 3 years to transfer the Sierra Club entirely to online voting. We could condense that a little, but the process is pretty straightforward. You have to ask people for their email addresses, and then you have to keep verifying them with mailings from the stations. And then you ask them if they would like to have the candidate statements online, and probably about half will say yes the first year. And then you have to ask them if they would like ballots online, and fewer will say less the first year. And the second year, the numbers will increase if you keep at it and you do, as Steve said, a good job of promoting the elections, which is really the problem. I agree with Steve on that. But by the third year, you simply say, we are voting online. If you want a paper ballot, you'll have to ask for it. Here's how you ask. And so the holdouts, the people who, in fact, cannot or will not vote online, will request paper ballots. And it may take that long, so we may not be able to do it immediately as fast as people would like. But I think doing it right is not, you know, rocket science. It just means, among other things, getting the participation of the station to advertise the process and follow up and make cards and so on. So it really is a full-fledged campaign. It's not just deciding what to do and then doing it. We really have to engage the station as management, producers, and so on, as well as the listeners. I don't think it can be done that fast, however.
Point of information?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Carolyn, you seem to have some information on Sierra Club. Do you happen to know whether the percentage of voters was greater after electronic ballot switch or before? That would be a very relevant...
You know, I do not know. We didn't even talk about that, as I recall. I may have it somewhere in my notes, but I doubt it. I don't think... this company did not work on that kind of campaign, and Sierra Club was going through a traumatic internal split, I think, around that time. So I don't know the answer to that, but I agree with what I think your point is, that we really need to work on several fronts here and engage all levels in increasing interest.
Well, this is Bob. I guess I'd like to speak now. I think there's some good ideas that have been put out tonight, and I think the way to really try to start realizing these is to form a working group that will focus on this. I realize that each working group that already exists has an element that could result in cost savings, but given the urgency of preparing the budget and putting some realistic figure in over the next few weeks, I think it would be good if there was at least one group that just really tried to work through these ideas, see which of them are practical, and how much they will save, if anything. And also Steve's idea about raising revenue, which he's raised before, and I agree is very important to pursue. I'm not as optimistic that it will yield what it yielded 5 years ago, because that was the first election and it had a novelty and an excitement about it that I think will never quite be reclaimed. But nonetheless, it's still worth pursuing, whatever amount it can raise, because every little bit helps. And also, just my research has suggested that the 10% voting participation is fairly typical for nonprofits. A lot of people just don't want to be bothered with governance. They just, as long as the services are coming to them, they're happy, and that's it. So you know, we certainly should try methods to increase participation, but I'm not that hopeful that it's going to make a sizable dent. But I want to put one other proposal on the table for consideration, and that is the, I know this is a controversial issue, but the bylaws amendment that was passed last year did extend the balloting period, I believe, and I'm sorry I didn't recheck it before tonight's call. I believe it was from four to six weeks. It might be 5 weeks. We can check it. But in that case, I think we might want to consider going back to not using first-class mailing, since that any problems in delivery could be rectified within that extended period. And plus, there's an even longer optional extension that's under the new amendment that got passed in case the quorum falls short. So I think that might be a pretty substantial saving. And I realize there's, you know, the downside that some people won't get their ballots till a certain amount into the balloting process. But I think if we do the other measures we've talked about on previous calls to clean up the list beforehand, that might be less of an issue. So that's all I want to say for now. And I support Bill's idea that we should immediately and formally, and maybe, Bill, you want to put this into a motion, request from the national office the fullest cost figures from, let's say, why don't we be specific and say the last two elections, all the items, all the line items that are related to the elections, if that could just be itemized for us, so it'll help us start looking at where there might be savings.
Okay, I still move.
Okay. All right. Are there any, suggestions to sharpen up that motion?
I'm just Steve Brown, curious.
Yeah.
I sent a sort of extensive report to this committee about both list cleaning, and I addressed the issue of first class versus standard class mail. Has everybody on this committee read it? I mean, there's no.
Well, can I just ask Steve, just hold off for 2 minutes until we dispose of the motion about requesting information on past election costs? And then we'll come right back to you, okay?
Okay.
So is there anything else on that motion that anyone wants to add to it or clarify it?
Carolyn here?
Yes.
I'd like to make sure that we do get all of it. There were some temporary workers at many stations.
Right.
I'd like it broken down between the basic mailing and the cost of replacement ballots, because that reflects on the cost of the list. And the legal costs, I'd like to have broken down by station. And perhaps even, I know we had one suit, maybe two, so perhaps by suits as opposed to just ordinary council advice, because I'm sure council, you know, there was a basic cost there too.
Okay, well, if I could just chime in on that point, I think that we should make it clear that we don't need to wait for all the information to be assembled before some of it is submitted to us. So I have no problem with asking for that breakdown about the lawsuits, but that might take a little longer, and I think we might, you know, just want to indicate in some way that the other items, which should be more readily available, should be gotten to us ASAP, and then the suits when they can. Because, I mean, ultimately, however much the suits cost, we all know that they are costly and needless, and all of the other work we're doing in the next few months hopefully is aimed at preventing any suits from ever happening again. So I'm not discounting the importance of knowing that, but it's not as crucial to this moment when we're trying to project an actual budget for this coming year's election. Carolyn, do you want to, or anyone else, want to suggest kind of a wording that includes your specifics?
So move. A list of legal costs, mailing costs, including original and replacement ballot costs, costs for temporary workers at each station. Trying to think of what else I, I've left out. I do believe that, I know KPFK and maybe one other station have budgets that have broken down the legal costs by lawsuit. So maybe we could go back to our own station budgets and find that information ourselves if it's not forthcoming. I'm sure National Office has it, but we may even have it ourselves.
All right, let me try some wording. So the PND Elections Committee requests of the National Office comprehensive cost figures for the 2006 and 2007 delegate elections, including permanent and temporary employee costs broken down, as well as the costs of mailing replacement ballots, and then when feasible, the breakdown of lawsuit costs per station, election-related lawsuit costs.
And legal costs, not just lawsuit, but there were legal costs,
oh, okay.
You know, consulting and so on.
Okay, lawsuit and legal expenses.
Yes, right.
Okay, anything else to add into that motion?
Did we put in the original mail or just the replacement ballots?
I thought I heard you say the original mailing. I thought it was written.
Yeah,
original mailing,
okay.
and replacement.
That's critical.
I thought that was a given, but we can spell it out. That's fine.
Mm-hmm.
The original mailing and replacement ballot mailing.
Bob?
Yes?
This is Yosh. Two things. One, I'm sorry, I will have to trouble you. Maybe you can get it down in writing. Either that or else I'll have to go back to the tape. But the other thing is that you said the 2006-2007 delegates election, actually, isn't that an LSB election?
Yeah, well, see, I'm being a little hyper-technical. Under the bylaws, what these elections are for are delegates who then sit on the LSB. So we could, either way, I mean, we could be informal and just refer to it as the LSB election.
No. We can leave it as delegates, right?
Yeah.
It's just that, I guess I consider them LSB elections, but... Okay.
Well, most of us do, too.
Okay.
All right, is there anything else for this motion? Are we ready to vote?
I have a question. This is Wesley at KPFP.
Yes, go ahead.
Was the U.S. Postal Service's conduit for receiving the ballots in the last three elections? Or was it outsourced to a UPS or anything?
In my knowledge, it was U.S. Postal Service. Does anyone know differently?
What, for the ballot?
Yeah.
Yes.
U.S. Postal Service.
Yeah.
Great. Well, that's good. Thank you.
There was a private company that did the mailing, though.
Mailing houses, you mean? Mm-hmm.
Right, a mailing house that took the list and, you know, made sure the envelopes got properly stuffed and all of that, but as far as the actual physical mailing, that was the U.S. Postal Service.
Yeah, that's good. I wanted to make sure that it was beyond reproach. Thank you.
Okay. All right. So if there's nothing more on this particular motion, is there any objection? Okay, hearing none, that's adopted. And so, Yosh, if you could take care of sending that out in the next couple of days to...
Yes.
Might as well send it to, you know, the executive director, the CFO, and the legal counsel, since he's involved in some of this. He may have some of that data as well.
Okay.
All right. Now let's get back to Steve Brown. Wanted to speak on the other issues. Go ahead, Steve.
Yeah. I sent a report to this committee on issues of list cleaning and first class versus standard class mailing. Out of that report, I hope that we could generate some motions. One of the motions being to send all of Pacifica's lists immediately for an NCOA cleaning at a very low price. I think it would cost about $400. We have to do this anyway every 6 months by law, otherwise we can't qualify for standard class mailing at all. And so saving money, they would be useless. I don't want to repeat the report that I sent. It was quite extensive. But that mailing, that NCOA process with some additional list scrubbing, data scrubbing techniques that any mailing house can perform for a very reasonable price, very reasonable, would virtually clean up most of our problems with the lists. Then the mailing itself, the ballot mailing itself, would serve as the final step in cleaning our list, because there'd be so few problems left that we'd be able to handle them in the extended time allowed for the balloting, and we would avoid any of the lawsuits that sprang from that issue of not getting delivered ballots, which I think were most of the lawsuits. The other issue, which isn't as is not going to first class mail. As Bob said, we have enough time. Mail, first and standard class mail, I handle it exactly the same way, except for priority. One goes first. But even standard class, they claim, gets delivered within 5 business days. There are some that don't, and those we could handle in the time allowed for ballot mailing. So you have the report. All that's necessary is for motions to be generated from them that we could then vote on.
Well, Steve, do you want to go ahead and offer some motions now? And we can decide whether we're ready to vote tonight or we need more time to study them.
Yeah, I would
try to formulate them.
I would suspect, listening to some of the discussion going on, that few, if any, have really sat down with the report I sent and decided whether they did or didn't want to do what it recommended. So I would suggest that we wait, because I don't want to have to argue these things from a standing start. So I would postpone the motion. The last part of the report I appended was a request that this committee make a recommendation to the ED of the National Board that I be allowed to design and write the next election ballot mailing with the purpose in mind of raising revenue from it. But as I say, people have to read that report before I would even want to put any of these motions on the table.
Well, let me just suggest that I think it would help to get people's thinking focused if you at least could try to formulate the general wording of a couple of motions, and then, you know, we can agree to postpone the voting on them until everyone's read everything.
The first motion would be immediately to send every 6 months until the election to have an NCOA scrub of our lists. What that does is match our list against a national database of everybody who's moved or changed their addresses or got married within the last 48 months, and industry figures usually say that each year about 25% of a list becomes questionable because of various issues like that, moving, changing address, marrying, whatever. It costs about $4 a thousand. So cost of 100,000 Pacifica names would be very small, $400. It's worth doing, and I said we have to do it every 6 months anyway, or we won't qualify for the... In other words, 16.2 cents is the rate for nonprofit postage. We can get it down to 8.5 cents per piece if we qualify, and the NCOA scrub is part of the qualification. That would be the first motion that we recommended. I think that's a no-brainer, because there's no downside to that except it costs $400. The second part is that...
Hold on one second.
How much did it cost?
My mailing house does it for about $4 a thousand, and I assume any other mailing house would do the same.
Well, as you say, this sounds like a pretty simple matter. I mean, I'd be prepared to vote on this tonight. Is there anyone who wants? I mean, it's fine if people really want to wait and read these material, but
they may also have conflicting information. I mean, this is what I gathered, and I sort of lay it out. why I'm for that now. The NCOA, I've used them for 25 years, but they used to be very iffy. Now they're very, very sharp and very accurate. I hadn't looked for a number of years, which is why I changed my initial motion, which this committee had passed at a prior session.
Right.